Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How's the demand for unique organized tours?
It's been growing. There are a lot of people in the New York City area who are looking for something interesting to do, something different. A lot of New Yorkers have been to all the touristy places in the city, and if it's your first time here, you should be going to the Empire State Building, right. Statue of Liberty. But if you live here or you've been here more than once and you're looking to really dig deeper and get to know the story of New York, that's where New York Adventure Club comes in.
We'll get to in a couple of minutes about to a couple of sample tours, but how's demand for organized, interesting, unique tours?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, this all started as a Facebook group, and when it did grow a little more than that, we were doing maybe one event a week, one or two events a week, and this was a side gig at the time. It was not my full-time job, but fast forward to today, around 6 years later, we have around 15 to 20 events a week, memberships a little over 14,000 people.
Memberships, you sell memberships, or how do you make your money?
Absolutely. So so a member is someone who subscribed to our newsletter. There's no fee to be a member of New York Adventure Club. It's a public club. So you simply register to find events of interest. But most of those events are ticketed. So it is a ticketed model for each of those experiences.
So how did you get 14,000 people to say, send me your information whenever you want?
Well, I think like any business, it gets down to the product. What are we providing that you can't get on your own? And so with every event that we create or curate, we're trying to bring something new. If it's at a familiar location, let's say in an institution or museum, what are we doing there that's different? Or are we creating an experience around a hidden gem that you don't even know exists and might not even allow the public in? And so that's where we work with them to allow public access. So private event, private experiences for the public would be a...
How did you first build that email list? Did you advertise, use Google AdWords, or what?
Absolutely. It's been organic word of mouth for many years. So there have been some limited paid marketing campaigns.
Not much, though.
But it really has grown from word of mouth. And there's pros and cons to that. Pros, a lot of integrity, right? The people who go on the experiences and have such a great time that they're willing to tell someone else, you're able to create this very strong community. A con would be it's a slower growth. It's slow and linear. But I guess the flip side is that this is all self-funded. There's no investors, so there's no one that wants to make their returns in the next year or two. So that allows this to grow with integrity and grow the way it should.
And that's interesting because you answered what was going to be my next question. Why didn't you do a big ad blitz to start it that way? It's because it was on the side and self-funded.
Absolutely. So, you could spend a couple thousand dollars on a big campaign, but you might only have a couple thousand dollars in reserve to allocate to all of your company activities. So,
how did you build New York Adventure Club while presumably having another full-time job?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us the trick to that.
It was very limited. So as I mentioned, we were only organizing around one to two events a week. This would happen, of course, after work hours and mostly on weekends. So, it was a lot of personal time, as you can imagine. So I'd work from 9 to 5 and then there might be a spirit tasting that night to help organize, or of course, if on the weekends I'd block out anything else going on to focus on those tours or events that were.
And you would be the tour guide and tour host yourself at the beginning?
I would. I was the brand ambassador, so I don't lead any tours myself, but I would be the
brand ambassador for a business of one.
A business of one, that's right. The biggest advocate, you could argue. So at every event, you would see me with my shirt on, greeting you, checking you in, you know, maybe go to a bar afterward. Of course, you know, now with 15 to 20 events, it's hard to do that personally, but I do try to be that brand ambassador on the first time we go somewhere, and that helps me evaluate that that first experience.
What sells in tours, Corey?
I guess it depends on who you ask, and I try to keep the content as diverse as possible in the catalog. So when it comes to tours or behind the scenes tours, of course, you know, if you're getting access that doesn't exist at all, that's going to be really compelling. Anything underground or abandoned is very popular, I think, especially in New York, with you know, high security and also liability issues. It's difficult to go into these interesting spaces, and you might be asking why would there be interest in abandoned locations? But they tell a story. You know, they were once active and now they're not. Why? You know, what is the story that they're trying to tell?
What are one or two of your best selling tours that you've probably done a few times now because they were so popular?
Absolutely. So we have a Urasenke tea ceremony. That's the Japanese tea ceremony from Kyoto. And the most authentic Urasenke center outside of Kyoto is right here in New York. It's in the Upper East Side. It's in a former carriage house that was the art studio of Mark Rothko for a year or two. And so you walk in and it looks like a standard lobby, nothing fancy. But once you slide open the back door, it opens up into this two-story atrium. And there's almost a small Japanese village, tea ceremony village there with the tea ceremony rooms. And there's a garden in the middle. And it's just, you know, I think it defines what a hidden gem is of New York. You walk in, you know, on the outside, you could walk by it every day and not realize what treasures are on the inside.
The opening you saw was a network to connect disparate events. I mean, each museum has its guides and docents and everybody, but you're all over the place, and that's the appeal. So you do the work of finding the interesting things to do.
Absolutely. So we have a couple hundred different partnerships in place, from individuals with interesting apartments to institutions like the Guggenheim. And in addition, we're also connecting people who live here. You know, up until I founded the company, I felt there really wasn't a community of people who wanted to explore. And that's, you know, maybe unlike other companies that, you know, they go in saying, oh, I see an opportunity. This was more so, you know, fell into my lap.
Is
an opportunity.
Are the members who attend using it, I mean, is there a dating, meeting, younger demographic component to this or not?
I'd say the age is one of the most diverse things about New York Adventure Club. Of course, the more social events, if it's on the party side or, you know, or something with, you know, wine and cheese might, or a game, it's going to skew much younger. When we visit sites that are more historic in nature, you'll get a little older. I purposely don't try to create any dating events. There's still a little stigma around creating a singles night. However, I take the more laissez-faire approach and let, you know, if two people, you know, meet on this tour event, then that's fantastic. And it has happened. We have had a wedding, you know, a happy marriage that started from two people meeting on a New York Adventure Club event. So I encourage it, but I'd rather not curate an event for dating.
It's interesting to hear a business owner sit here and say, I take the laissez-faire approach as opposed to trying to control every single thing and every single step. That's a nice, refreshing approach.
Try as much.
You do this now, you've expanded, I understand, to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope as a business owner with expansion, and even to other cities, I think? So how are you handling this?
Absolutely. So the future goal is to expand this to other cities, because a lot of other cities suffer from a lack of unique experiences and experiences that really speak toward what that city's identity is about. Before that can happen, we really need to focus on New York. And while many events started in New York City, we have started to expand to Long Island, Westchester, New Jersey. A lot of the locations will be near public transit options, just because to rent a van or any sort of vehicle is cost prohibitive. And when, you know, it's one thing if it's your company going and the company is writing that check for the event. It's another when you are paying for it.
My question is, how do you maintain quality while expanding, I guess is what I was getting at.
Absolutely. I am personally meeting with every single partner, and a partner might be this institution, or evaluating a tour guide's tour and working with them to ensure that the product is of quality.
You coach them on how you want them to lead your tour.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It might be an experience that they already offer, and we might just be tweaking an element. So, for example, at St. John the Divine, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, the world's largest cathedral in Morningside Heights, they have a great tour that it's called a vertical tour. It starts from the ground level and works its way up to the roof, where you learn about the history, the story, the architecture. And so, you know, they already have this program in place, and the question is, well, what are we going to do a little differently? We simply do it after hours. And so now you're in the world's largest cathedral with only 20 people. And same content, but we tweaked a variable that really does enhance the experience itself. So to answer your question, once that product or once that tour is in place, then we create the marketing assets around it, the event page, and of course, then advertise it.
What a great story and an example of just another high-quality business. And I'm going to look more deeply at your website than I did before we had this mm-hmm. discussion and find an event and come to it, too, because I
could
become a member at no charge, right?
That's right. It's free.
No lose. Congratulations.
That's great.
Thank you for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.